And good morning and welcome to the La Porte Church of Christ this August 25th, 2024. We welcome you out there that are joining us. We thank you for being here. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We thank you that you're our God and we are your people. We're grateful for that, Father, and we just ask that you continue to wake your people up across this land, that they wake up to who they are in Christ. Lord, we know that there's an awakening going on, and we just ask that you just continue to pour out a moving of the Holy Spirit across this land and to continue to wake people up. We ask that you turn their hearts and their minds back to you. And Lord, we cry out for you to save us. Save us from the hands of our enemies, those that seek to destroy us. And we ask, Father, that you pour your blessings out upon us and bless us with blessings from your throne. We pray these things in the name of, above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a lot of things that are going on in the world, and just a lot of things that are going on abroad. Last week, we talked about some of the stuff that was happening in Britain. This week, it was, things that were happening in Germany. And, people are constantly getting woken up to the fact of what these illegals and these immigrants are doing. And it's a serious issue. And just, I really have been encouraging people for, last several months now. It's pray Psalms 83. And I believe that is, that's a weapon of warfare. And they've, just are continuing to wage warfare against God and his people in his land. And, you look at the countries and the places that they're invading, it is the Anglo-Saxon nations. It's, white people that are being under siege. You don't see them invading Africa or Zimbabwe or, southern Guatemala or anything like that. That's where, the invaders are coming from. And we've got so many different invaders that are coming in right now, and we're facing a lot of different things. It's just happening all around us, and it's ramping up. Talking with several people, just on this, the way that these drugs and this drug cartel is working here in the United States is, you can't escape it. It's in all across Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Nevada, and Colorado and Wyoming. And you find a place that you think that, this is a quiet little town, and, it's not gonna affect me here. And it's there. Doing some research and observations and different things, you're not going to find a place that it hasn't affected in some ways. And it's kind of discouraging sometimes, because you want to find that, you want to find a quiet little town. You want to be around like-minded people. You want to be around people that you can trust. And it's just, times are definitely changing. And I really think, as what I sense and what I see is that it's just everywhere. And, message that Pastor Peters brought years ago, I think it was 1989, but, he talked about, we haven't got a prayer if we don't pray. And that phrase keeps coming back to my mind. And encouraging people to pray. You see things that are happening, just pray. We're living in the times where you got to pray for your wives, your children, your husbands, and if somebody pops into your mind and you're thinking about somebody, pray for them. I know that I'm getting more and more people that are calling and asking for prayer all the time. We're having more people that are writing in, emailing us, wanting prayer for, a situation that they're dealing with or an ailment that they're dealing with. And, the praise reports come in also. And it's just, it's really good when you see somebody that, you pray for them and you see the effects of prayer in their life. And that's huge. And, I've told you folks out there that we do, I mean, we're basically running on your prayers. We do covet your prayers. We appreciate your prayers, and they're, you know, very much appreciated. So do continue to pray for us, this church, this ministry, and our families here. You know, we couldn't do it without the prayers and the financial support of the faithful, and we're grateful for that. Zach's got a message today, and it is entitled Navigating the System. And it's something that we've been talking about quite a bit. And, you know, it's one of the things that me and him, we've spent hours and hours discussing it. And I think that there's a lot of things that people don't understand. You know, it's thrown out constantly, you know, the 501c3 churches. But, you know, but there's a lot of people that really don't understand, you know, the ins and outs of why, you know, the pros and the cons of a 501c3 system. And so we've been doing some research, and, you know, a lot of the information that is out there is just, I mean, it's simply false information. So in this message, he's going to be talking about some of the things that we've discussed and that he's put together.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, August 25, 2024, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there this morning. We're glad you joined us. And we begin this morning, as usual, by defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. He is the Old Testament that became flesh. So if you want to know him, you got to know your Old Testament. When you know your Old Testament, you know why things are the way that they are. And you can use this Bible as a history book, a law book. It gives you answers to questions that you might have to why does God allow things to happen the way they do happen? If, you know, I've heard it said, people say, well, if there was a God, then why would he let stuff like this happen or something like this or that happen? And, you know, a lot of times the answer is because of lawlessness in the land. And God is a God that keeps his word. And when there's lawlessness, it's a cause and effect. It's like when you sin, that you can have a clear calm lake that's just like glass. You throw a rock in it, it creates a ripple effect. And so does our actions, my actions and your actions, cause an effect. And it goes out. And when you have that compiled of many people that are lawless, that do not know his will, then you have a bunch of ripples coming in every direction. It's just a big mess. And God is faithful. And he will keep his word. And he will hand down curses upon the land and on the earth for sin, being the sin that's committed. And we as Israelites, we are the law bearers of his word. We have the law. We have the Bible, which is his law. And as we read a while back around the 4th of July, we did a lesson about Public Law 97-280, in which it states the president at that time, which was Ronald Reagan, said, if you want to fix things in your country, study the word and apply its teaching. Things will go good with you. If you do not, then things will go bad. And that is Public Law 97-280. And we are in this system, and we are in a land, the United States, and every other multitude of nations is prophesied by, that was promised to Abraham that he'd be, his seed would become a multitude of nations. He's their God. They don't have a choice in it. And when you have all this violation of all these nations, then, and you have these churches preaching that God's law is done away with, then you are put under a different authority. Whether you think so or not, whether you believe it or not, you are. And that forces us as a group of people, because of the sin of our forefathers, to be in and under the authority of people that are not godly. Now you might say, oh, that's not true. Yes, it is true. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to read verse 15. Now, many of you know, 1 through 14 are the blessings, are the consequences. The 8 are the consequences to disobedience. So I begin by reading in verse 15. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe all his commandments and do his statutes, which I charge you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So like what I was saying earlier, the actions are going to require reaction, and they will overtake you. Now let's go to verse 1 of chapter 28. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey. So you're going to be overtaken one way or the other. You're going to be overtaken with blessings, or you're going to be overtaken with curses. It all depends on what you do, your actions, and what is going on between your ears to what you think is right. This is what we are talking about. This is God's system. It is designed to be singular and stand alone. But when you read in verse 15, if you do not, then there are consequences, okay? So, one of Pastor's favorite ones was verse 43, the alien who is among you. So that alien, what it means there is a non-Israelite, because when this, at this time, the Israel was getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, and this, what we're reading about is the structure, the laws, the rules, and regulations of how they're supposed to run their country. And if they, so what he's talking about is if it's abandoned, his rules and regulations and judgment are abandoned, then this is what's going to happen. So these aliens that are among them, now there's aliens going to be among them one way or the other. But, and they have a place. Now, if there's disobedience, let's say you take on their gods, you intermarry, you allow them to worship their gods and appease their gods and do and govern themselves in the way that their gods want you to, this makes our God jealous. So is what it is. You've abandoned God's rules, or you have been complacent and you've added to the system. That's a big no-no. Okay? So these aliens, so you let them in, and you let them practice their way, and you let them bring their cultures in. That's what it's talking about. Because in the law of God, it says they're allowed, but they better know their place, and they better practice his law, and then they can be part of the assembly. You act as we do. You get rid of your God, your rules, your laws. You leave them in that trash land, that hole you came from. And if you're going to be here, you're going to be clean, upright, and justified, and walk in justice. That's what you're going to do. Because there's rules in the law of God about aliens, non-Israelites. So this notion about the sheep and God said killing it, it's all a bunch of crap. It's all garbage. Sorry, I went off on a tangent. Here I am almost 10 minutes into it already. Verse 43, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. So there's a transfer of power, okay? These people get power from our sin, as we read in Hosea. They entice God's people. They feed off their sin. It empowers them. It gives them authority over us. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. There's a proverb that says, the borrower is slave to the lender. The lender is the boss. The lender is in charge. As you heard me say in Romans many times, the politicians are ministers of the Lord. What is their job? If you act properly, they're supposed to be one either removed or hand out blessings in a godly manner. Or if you act in a corrupt, ugly, sinful way, then you get more debt, you get more curses laid on you. More aliens get flooded in. More illegals. More of your tax money gets shipped overseas. You get to worry about what's going on, you know, over in I can't even remember. Honestly, I don't even watch the news. I ain't got the foggiest idea what's going on. You want to know why? Because I don't care. I want to know what I'm doing. I care about what I'm doing. What's going on around me. But whoever, Ukraine, that's who it is, shipping billions of dollars worth of our weapons and tanks and airplanes and dollars and MREs and blah, blah, blah. It all goes over there. Meanwhile, there's aliens getting free plane tickets and getting shipped all over the continental United States. It is their job to make sure that these curses overtake us. We are the Anglo-Saxons. We are the ones that built this country. We are the ones that designed the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. They sat there, and when the Puritans were here, their law book was the Bible. It's how they ran their charter. But we've let that go. Now we're in two systems. Now we got to make everybody happy, and this Babylonian system's got to figure out how to, how to make everything work. Steal from this guy. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not, from the last lesson, I don't know what anybody thought about it, but, as I pointed out with Paul, he navigated both systems to a T, or all three systems to a T, and we are to do the same thing. And, last week I was griping about the advice on how to navigate our personal lives and how the advice that I received was such terrible advice. And the thing of it is, I was thinking, I knew a lot of guys in my circle. The only ones that ever did well in life were the ones that rejected a lot of what was told to them, and I'm not saying that the government has got my best interest. I'm not saying that. I mean, don't sit there and think, well, this guy's a heretic. you know. He's going to get hooked into the system. Nobody gives me a dime. I work for every dime that I earn. Nobody gives it to me. I play by certain rules. But don't make no mistake. I know nobody's going to come and save me. I know the only way for me to get out and to be prosperous is by the actions that I take because of what's going on between my ears. And like I said last week with Joseph, he didn't do certain things because he would not sin against his God, which is our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have to contend with the system on an individual level so that way our children can have something, so that way, and you got to teach them how to do it. Nobody taught me anything. I had to go out and get punched in the face. That's how I got taught. Oh, you didn't do this? Bonk. Fine. Oh, you want to learn this the hard way? Bonk. Kick right between the eyes. You know, I got to be able to get tools. And what I mean, I'm not talking a hammer. I'm talking like 19-inch chippers and stuff like that. I'm talking about loaders with big grapples on it. I mean, I got to get it, you know. If I sit there and I save my nickels and dimes, I mean, had I done that, I wouldn't have the stuff that I had in the amount of time that I got it. And I'll be paid off here before too long. Why? Because I played the system. It's all mine. Well, not really. I mean, it's got a title. I guess they could take it. And you can sit there and make that argument, but who cares? I mean, really, who cares? I'm going to wear it out anyway. So, we're going to get to the nuts and bolts this week's sermon. And I'm sure it's going to go over like a lead balloon in some mind. And I used to be one of these people that was a staunch. I'm not saying either way, personally. I mean, I wouldn't even call me a wannabe preacher. I'm just a tree guy that gets the opportunity to talk. And, I mean, everybody can do what they want with it. I simply don't care. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep schwacking trees. That's what I'm going to keep doing. But, anyway, as a ministry, we have talked much about, in the circles, on the radios and stuff, about 501c3 and how they are a wicked, wicked group of people because they basically bluff over and they say that the Babylonian system is God or is got the final say in it. And in a sense, maybe. In a sense, maybe not. But as we read in Deuteronomy 28, as the alien, because of sin, the alien that goes above you, because of your sin, and they're lending, that means they're the boss. It's like Pastor Peters used to say, the alien will rule over you because of your sin and us as a nation. And the scriptures that I quoted as far as in Romans, and they are ministers of the Lord, is it their duty to put curses or blessings on us according to our actions. So you can sit there and yes, the Bible does say there's only one lawgiver. And that lawgiver says, if you're sinful, I'm going to put a bunch of people over top of you and they're going to make your life really miserable. You ain't going to own nothing. For real. The whole thing about it is how do I want to say this? But this is the sad thing. The sad thing about it is there's no glory that goes to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's no glory handed to Jesus Christ I mean, Jesus Christ hung on a cross to give us our identity back, to give us his law system back. And we're in this mess today because, once again, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic kindred people have forgotten who they were, have blended with the alien and taken on their rules, and now they believe that the God of the Bible has done away with the Old Testament and his law. And now here we sit, we're under a dual system. And so often I've heard in our group, oh, you got to be in just God's system. Well, you can't get anything. You can't function properly. See, I'm a Generation Xer, okay? My generation is the product of the baby boomers. I'm not really too hip to the baby boomers because I think they are the first worthless generation out there because they think they rate everything. They're a bunch of little brats is what they are. But nobody's handing me nothing. A lot of guys that I roll with, you know, a lot of my concrete buddies, and they pretty much had to do everything over. Most of their parents are still alive, so they're holding on to the family jewels, or the family, not the family jewels, the all the fortune, and, you know, most of them didn't have a exit strategy or a retirement plan, so they're living off what mom and dad did, which was our grandparents, and, I mean, what a joke! These are the people that we had to take advice from. Don't do this, do this, do that. Well, how do we do it? Well, they don't have an answer. So we as a ministry, it's been said, 503s are horrible, terrible, wicked SOBs. We're going to read about it. In fact, I happen to be on the IRS website, which explains how a 501c3 actually operates. And I'm going to read it to you. And we're going to discuss it. Well, I'm going to discuss it. I'm going to share my thoughts. See, this is the great thing about the position I'm in. I ain't got to listen to what anybody thinks. I wouldn't care anyway. I mean, I would. But because that's the one thing. I got a couple of business partners, and they're a lot younger than me, and it forces me to listen. And like you've heard me say it before, every once in a while they'll get me in a pinch, and I got to sit there and eat some crow, you know. But we're going to read about this. What does this taskmaster, the IRS, that the Lord our God has allowed to be over us because of our sin, say about this status? I begin by reading. Now, mind you, I am on the IRS website right now, and I'm reading it to you. To be tax exempt under Section 501(c)(3) of the Internal Revenue Code, an organization must be organized and operated exclusively for exempt purposes set forth in Section 501(c)(3), and none of its earnings may inure to any private shareholder and individual. So what does that mean? It's not like an LLC, okay? It's set up to design to help a whole group of people. It's a non-profit. So it's supposed to benefit everybody that is in this organization, not just one person, okay? That's a sole proprietorship. I mean, even an LLC doesn't just benefit one person. I mean, there's so much work that goes into one of those to make a profit. I mean, most people, they gripe about LLCs, but they don't actually understand how much labor it gets to make them profit. It's like taking a huge underpowered jet on the runway and kind of get that bad boy off the ground. I mean, it's a deal. I promise you. I know that. But anyway, so it's designed to help a group of people. It doesn't, the thought process behind these groups is irrelevant. Okay? It's not just attacking identity Christians. It puts everybody in the same playing field. Okay? It doesn't care what you think. All right? It may not attempt to influence legislation as a substantial part of its activities and may not participate in any campaign activity for or against political candidates. So, when it comes to endorsing political candidates, you're supposed to keep your trap shut to a certain point, all right? Really, personally, I mean, as an individual in the group, they can run their mouth all they want. But as a whole, the organization's not supposed to say anything. They can point in a direction, and there's reasons why, and we're going to get into it. But, I mean, honestly, with all the craziness that goes on there, why would we even want to get involved in that? The whole idea is to get rid of them. Okay? The whole idea why they're there in the first place, that this conversation's even taken, because this is what it is, the conversation. This is why I love America. I can say what I want. I can think what I want. And I mean, I'm not going to be disrespectful. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, the organization has to be quiet because, well, for one, they're tax exempt. You can't, what they're saying here is you cannot take your pre-tax dollars or non-tax dollars and fund a campaign or legislation. I have no problem with that. Why would I want to fund them? Why would I? And the thing of it is, whether you're Catholic, you're Baptist, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Satanist, and you're a 501c3 religious status, they can't do it either. It levels the playing field. You're not supposed to put non-tax money. It's an unfair advantage, is what they're saying, and they're right. Organizations described in section 501c3 are commonly referred to as charitable organizations. Organizations described in section 501c3 other than testing for public safety organizations. That's their one, like, public safety, that's a different deal. Are eligible to receive tax deductible contributions in accordance with code section 170. So they can receive tax deductible contributions. So anybody that knows anything about any of this stuff, they have to put their money somewhere. They're going to lose it. So they have any company or person that has a profit, if you're 1099, LLC, whatever. If you're doing your bookkeeping, remember last week I told you, if you don't keep good books on your personal and business level, you're not a disciplined person. Okay, if you're doing your good bookkeeping, you know, you're like, okay, I made this much. I did this much percentage of profit this year. Okay, let's say you did 10% profit. Let's say you did $1 million. You did 10%. You got $100,000 of profit. Okay, you're going to get taxed on it. All right, you have to. So when you are doing a tax deductible, you are getting rid of some of that money that you know you're going to give to the IRS anyway if you don't do anything with it, and you're giving it to a church because you have to show what you did with it. Now, I'm not saying it's right that you have to show, and I'm not saying that it's wrong that you have to show. What I'm saying, if you're going to play in this game, you have to show it. Whether I feel it's right or wrong is irrelevant. The fact remains, I have to do it, and so do you. So you might as well lower your profit and give it to somebody that is going to do something charitable, such as Scriptures for America. Oh, wait, no, we can't because we're not a 501c3, so it's not tax deductible. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to say that out loud, but I just did. So that way, the feds get less. And it's all perfectly legal. And it's encouraged by the IRS. And you've literally just accomplished what everybody's been talking about not paying this and not paying it, and you've done it legal, and you don't have to sit there and look over your shoulder. And it is an unfair advantage to take pre-tax dollars and put it in a political campaign or fund legislation advertisement. And the thing of it is, the other people they have to play by the same rules. So I don't really understand what the big deal is. I don't. What's the big deal? Now, you might say, well, you get preaching, and you start preaching the stuff that we preach. I mean, I am just anti-Judeo-Christian as anybody else. I think they're full of blood. In fact, I think they are the catalyst of what is everything wrong in this country. I do. Forgot where I was going with that. Anyways, I'll keep reading. But they're doing it, so why are we going to take on the extra? Oh, that's what I was going to say. Forgot. They don't have anybody taking away their status. And you say, well, that's because they don't say anything. Now, I happen to be a guy that infiltrated a church for 4 years, ended up getting behind the pulpit and preaching everything that Pastor Peters preached. Do you know how many IRS agents I had show up and tell me to shut up and not speak what I was speaking? I mean, I got pushback from some of the congregation because they didn't agree with the theology. I mean, they didn't agree with the theology that Abraham was going to be had a flesh covenant of a multitude of nations. That's the pushback I got. I got the pushback that his law was still in effect when Jesus said it in Matthew. That's the pushback I got. I got the pushback from within. The IRS didn't give a rip what I was saying, nor did they show up. Nobody showed up and said, hey, Z-Man the tree man, here you've been saying this. This is a big no-no. It's a thought crime. Nobody showed up and nothing happened to me. I mean, if somebody else went and did what I did and had different results, I'm all ears. Let me know. But I did it. I continue by reading. The organization must not be organized or operated for the benefit of private interest. And no part of Section 501c3 organization's net earnings may enter the benefit of any private shareholder or individual. For the organization engages in access benefit transaction with, if the organization, okay, if, now this is like, so they're saying if this does happen, if it does benefit just one person, it's a big scam to go into somebody. And I'm not saying, and here's the thing, I'm not saying people don't abuse these rules. I'm not saying. You and I both know can sit there and watch on TCP the abuse of this rule. I'm not saying abuse. I'm just saying what it did. I mean, I don't even have an opinion about it. I mean, everybody can. You can do what you want with it. It's irrelevant to me. If the organization engages in excess benefit transactions with a person having substantial influence over the organization, an incised tax may be imposed on the person and any organization managers agreeing to the transaction. So it says you're going to get popped if you violate the rule. That's what it's saying. And like I said, it doesn't matter if your identity, if you are Holy Roller, or you're practicing Native American sun god ritual, and you have this status. It is irrelevant. The idea is to not let tax-free money influence political agendas or candidates. And it's designed to help people within the organization. It's designed to be a charity. Once again, I'm not saying that it's not something that can be abused. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what it's trying to tell you. Like when Israel demanded a king, what were they doing? They were using God's rules to benefit themselves, and it made them throw the entire system out. Because they recognized they were frauds and they were only worried about themselves. Begin. Section 501c3 organizations are restricted in how much political legislation. There you go. They're restricted in how much political legislative lobbying activities they may conduct. So you can't. So what's the problem? What is the problem? They're restricted. You can say your opinion. You just can't fund it. You can say what you think. This is still America. You just can't fund it. That's all they're saying. For a detailed discussion, see political and lobbying activities. For more information about lobbying activities by charities, the article Lobbying Issues, PDF. For more information about political activities of charities, see FY-2002-CBE topic, election year issues. I'm going to stop right there. I need to go into all that other stuff. If you want to read into it more, be my guest. So I got a friend. He's a detective. And north of me. And he was saying that there's a large Amish community that's north of me. And he was saying that all those Amish people out there make their place a church, a place of worship, a charity, and all their homes and farms are under 501c3 status. Now, here in Michigan, where I'm from, when I get my property tax bill, and it shows, you know, and then I pay it, and I see where all my money goes. It goes to the school. We all hate schools here. Guess who's funding the school? This guy. This guy is. And they're teaching stuff that I hate. Guess who's funding it? This guy. Guess who's not funding it? The Amish. Because when they have that status and they put their land under that status, they get a special little title that makes their land not their land, their property isn't taxed. Who's the dummy? Who's the guy that runs his mouth? Well, I'm talking about me, that's run his mouth in the past about blah, 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 and is funding all this stuff. This guy is. Who's not? Bunch of people that ride around in horses and carts. On this issue, who's smarter? I kind of think that. Do I think you're committing a grave sin by doing this? I don't know. I don't think so. That's my opinion. Now, you can get a hold of the ministry and just tell them that guy's not worth the whatever. I'm just telling you what. I'm not even giving an opinion. I'm just telling you what it is to the best of my ability. The more information that you got going on between your ears, and we are in, because our job is to help. Our job is to educate. And we're in the predicament that we're in is because of a lack of knowledge. And we've become slaves. And you're a slave because of a lack of knowledge. Because what's going on between your head enslaves you and me. How do we, and I'm not, I think it's garbage that we even have to talk about this, but it's there. Me personally, I feel like we're on the hook for stuff that we don't have to be. Just saying, that's my opinion. If people don't like my opinion, then that's fine. You don't have to like me. Most people don't actually like me. Maybe they do. I don't know. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 26, start out verse 38. Now, this is also about penalties for disobedience of his law, of God's system, introducing other systems and how God deals with it. Verse 38 of chapter 26 in Leviticus. But you will perish among the nations and your enemies, and your enemies' land will consume you. So those of you who may be rot away because of their iniquity in the lands of your enemies, and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers, they will rot away with them. So the whole reason any of this conversation is going on is because of the iniquities of our and our forefathers. So here's the thing. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me for bringing this up and talking about it. The reason why I am even talking about it is the iniquity in the land that we have committed and our forefathers. Take it up with God. Don't take it up with me. If you got to send a nasty email, Jason will forward it to me. I'll read it with you. Not really, but... So those of you that may be left will rot away because of their iniquities in the land of your enemies, and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers, they will rot away with them. Now here it is. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquities of their forefathers in their unfaithfulness which they committed against me, and also in their acting with hostility against me. So they have to confess, and they got to confess the forefathers. No matter which way you cut it, it always comes back down to repenting and changing how you conduct yourself. Change what's in your mind to be right or wrong. What's right? Is it actually right? Is it right in the eyes of God? Is it not? Change your mind. You better know what God thinks. If you don't know what God thinks, then study. That's why we always say every single Sunday morning, John 1, verse 1 through 4, and John 14, 1 through 4, 1 to 14. Because that's who he is. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquities of their fathers in their unfaithfulness, which they committed against me, and also they're acting with hostility against me. Then I'm going to stop again one more time. Acting in hostility against me. The Judeo-Christian churches promote hostility against them because that is law is done away with. How can you be peaceful then? How can a nation be peaceful to God if they don't, if they've literally stripped him of his identity? Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will also remember my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant as well, and I will remember the land. For the land will be abandoned by them and will make up for its Sabbath while it is made desolate without them. Meanwhile, they will be making amends for their iniquity because they rejected my ordinance and their soul abhorred my statutes. You know, I want to have talks, conversations about dual systems and this and that. It goes right back. We're once again in a place to where they abhorred God's statutes and his ordinances. Got us here in the first place. You all know that. You all know I'm right. I'm open to other opinions about what I was talking about earlier. I'm not 100% right. I don't know. I do have my right to my opinion. And another thing, I won't be looked down on because of my opinion either. I'll throw it down. With that, I'm out of time. May he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Zach. We're remnant. We gather now for communion. We've passed our, we've passed our communion out here. We've prayed over it in the same. The word tells us, Jesus tells us, that we do this in remembrance of him, of what he's done for us, of his faithfulness, even when we aren't faithful, of his steadfastness, of his never changing from before in the beginning to the end of the book to forever and ever, that he does not change. This is a time for us to remember him, but also to reflect on our lives, to judge ourselves righteously. Our sins before him, and to prove that we are his disciples, to prove, as his word says, that we do more than believe, as you heard Brother Zach say. And the red letters, if you have a red letter, says, prove that you love me by doing what I tell you to do. He tells us to do this, to partake of these emblems that represent his blood and his body that he gave for us. And we do this in humble obedience to him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do this very thing, remembering what you have done for us, remembering, Lord, that you allowed us to be brought out of the dominion of darkness and into your wonderful dominion of light. Strengthen us this day, this week. We claim that all the benefits that come with abiding in you, Lord, the scripture comes to mind. If you are for us, what can man do against us? We claim your grace and your mercy. We thank you for it. Strengthen us this day and this week as we go forward proclaiming your good news and walking in your light, your glory, because of what you have done for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. and we partake.